Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Oh, what a model Peter was. He had to go through a lot to get there. God had to take him to face the rooster, like the song we heard last night. But I tell you, God brought him through that, didn't he? He learned some things about himself. I appeal as a fellow elder, witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. I'm just one of you, guys. Be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. This is not a duty to perform. As God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. There's not a selfish motive involved in this. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Now, this is a scripture that jumped out at me several years ago when I was thinking about this whole idea of church order and the way it happens, and this idea of there being the ministry way up here and we're just down here like little birds, you know, like we can't really have a relationship with God. We're supposed to get it all from them. But listen to what he's saying. Young men, what's the next phrase? In the same way. Then what does he go on to say? Be submissive to those who are older. In the same way. What's he referring to? The same way as what? He's looking back at what he has just said about the leadership. What he's saying is the leadership is meant to model a spirit of submission. I'm not a big somebody. I'm a servant. In a very real sense, I am submitting my life to you. When the young people come along, when the younger ones recognize there's a gift of God in somebody, and I want to recognize that and submit myself to that gift. But the elders are doing the same thing to me. They have a spirit of submission. They have a spirit of humility. They have a spirit of, I mean, everybody's submitted one to another. Well, that kind of is what he says here in a minute, it's the next statement. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility. You see this? You see the part of the yoke being played out, and Peter's talking about exactly what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 11. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility. Now again, what is humility based upon? Is it just an act we put on because we know we're supposed to? Or is it fact-based? Do you and I have a reason to be humble? Yeah, we've got all the reason in the world. If we really could for one moment see what we are and then see what he is, like Isaiah did that one time, we would instantly get it. All of our illusions about what we think we are and how good we think we are would be gone in an instant. And we would just say, well, praise God. My only hope before him is simply to surrender to his love and his provision for me. I willingly take the place that is the only sensible place I can possibly take. I humble myself. And not just to him, but I recognize this is a spirit that I need towards other people because he's living in me. See, to see where this yoke is, that you see how this is playing out? We're taking Jesus' yoke. This is the pathway to what he's talking about. It's the opposite of pride. It simply is recognizing what we are and who God is. As I said, it's an attitude rooted in fact. And of course, we've already quoted, I guess, the next part was that I talked about was dependence. John chapter 15, the vine and the branches, without me you can do nothing. Is that true or isn't it? Yeah. But do we live as if it were true? And that's where we need a little help, isn't it? But God is helping us. Yeah, none of this is coming from the Lord, I believe, is meant to discourage or It's not condemnation. It's not anything except here. I want to lift you up. Oh, I long to give you what I promised you. Oh, if you just listen and open your heart, I'm going to bring you to a place of rest. That's what it's about. And of course, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with most of your heart, some of your issues. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own stupid understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your pea brain. Don't demand that you've got to have an answer to every question. Oh, God. How many times do we say, God, I don't understand. But while we're sitting there with that guy's, I don't understand, are we trusting? Many times we're not. We're kind of withholding trust until he explains himself. That's God you're thinking about. Do we trust him, or do we demand that he come down and meet our qualifications? Yeah, you do things the way I expect you to do it, and then I'll serve you. No. God wants us to have a heart that is so, that has so gotten it. We get who he is, and we say, I know, come what may, he is worthy of my absolute trust. That was the characteristic of Abraham's life, and that's why he is the father of faith. Praise God. And there's another one. I'm just going to refer to it. There's a number of scriptures. I'll turn to one in John chapter 14. And I think there's a place for bringing this out. You know, I mentioned that the yoke that Jesus wore was one of obedience. In John chapter 14, verse 10, I believe it is. Basically, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what the King James says. And I want to tell you what that does to a legalist. To somebody whose idea of serving God is, he's going to dump requirements on me, and then I'm going to have to somehow meet those requirements, and based on that, then he will accept me. All you have to do is dump a word like commandments, and someone says, oh yeah, there's a law that I have got to somehow measure up to. I'll tell you, what he's saying is, you do what I tell you. You have a spirit of obedience. And what is it that he's requiring of us but to love one another? Well, how do we do that? If he's just told us that we can do nothing without him, what is he really saying? If he's telling us we're to love one another, how do we do that if we can do nothing? We're going to have to get our resources from him to do whatever he has told us to do. Again, I go back to that message the Lord gave me years ago about commands and promises. Every command that he gives us, every instruction that he gives us implies that he is with us to help us to do what he has told us to do. I mean, how stupid would it be for God to know that we're helpless, tell us to do stuff, and then sit there and say, what's the matter with you? Why didn't you do that? That doesn't make any sense, does it? But I'll tell you, our God is willing to come down right to the level where you and I occupy today and give us the grace and the strength that we need to do what he's told us to do. But he's looking for a heart that says, if you really love me, do what I tell you. And I tell you, he says in one place, the commandments that I give you, the commands that I give you are not grievous. This is not a heavy yoke. This is not the yoke of religion. This is not the yoke of you've got to measure up or else. This is the yoke of just come and let me flow through you and do what I said. Cooperate with me, just like Jesus did. Was it striving to measure up that Jesus was demonstrating, or just, I'm willing to do your will, but I sure am expecting that you're going to be the one doing it through me. I'm yielding to that. I'll tell you what, God is looking for us to come to this place where we are willing to take Christ's yoke upon us. And I'll guarantee every one of us here, to some degree or other, is wearing another yoke. More than we would like to realize. But I sense God's heart wanting to reach out and saying, I love you. I paid it all. I won all the battles that you are struggling to fight. I just want you to come to me. I'll give you the victory. I'll give you the rest that you are longing to find. You don't have to struggle to be loved by me. You can rest in what I have done. Oh, come to me. Just receive it by faith. Enter in. Let your reluctance to believe, how could it be me? How could this apply to me? Let it go by the boards. Oh, we're great at having faith for somebody else. But the more I'll tell you, it's hard for us to really accept that God could possibly really feel this way about us and love us that much. But listen to what he says over in, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, just briefly. I'm about done here. 1 Peter chapter 5. Right after he says, all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because, now there's a reason why he's telling us that God opposes the proud. If we persist in the notion that we can do stuff on our own, we're going to be pushing and pushing and struggling and striving, and God's the one who's going to be putting the roadblocks in our pathway, because that ain't the way it's supposed to happen. He gives what? Grace. What is that? Grace is God's enabling power. Whatever the need is that needs to be met. Okay, in view of that, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. What? So he can lift you up at the proper time. I'll tell you, the exaltation that God has in mind for us is modeled by the one who went before us, who has a name that's above every name. But he will not be lifting us up and saying, look at them, they are so great. They reached down deep. They found the resources. They geared up their wills. And I'm rewarding this wonderful religious expression. Is that the way it is? No, it's somebody who was just willing to give themselves to me and allow me to make out of them what I purposed from the foundation of the world. Do you have any idea what God's plan is for you, every single one of you? Do you have any idea? You know, we don't know what we will be, John tells us. But we know that when he appears, we'll be like him. Because we'll see him like he is. What's the result of that? He says, everyone who has this hope, what kind of hope? It's a hope in him. You can look this up later. This is in 1 John 3. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Well, how do I do that? I've got to get the resources from him. And I don't get it by trying and struggling and striving. I get it from believing his promises. Praise God. Well, how many of you know that if you start down this road, you know, this is going to be real short here. How many of you know that if you start down this road, you're going to have a lot of times when you're going to be struggling and striving and worrying? Like I was on Monday. So what does he say next? You know, the Lord knows what we're made out of. He says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.